My name's Andy O'Rourke. If I haven't met you, welcome today. If you're a regular part of Antioch, we're glad you're here. If you're just visiting or a guest with us, thanks for being here as well. Let me pray for us before we get into God's Word this morning and reflect on that Jesus is risen and what that means for us. So if you'll pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are alive. Thank you that you have conquered death, that you have defeated sin, death, the devil. Lord, thank you that you give new life because you are alive to all who believe. And Lord, I pray that you would remind us of that hope that is in you. I pray, Lord, that you would help perhaps some of us even to see and to realize that hope in our own lives for the first time today. So Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts to what you have for us during this time by your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you probably didn't know that number 9 is my favorite number. It's been for a long, long, long time. Let me tell you a little story about why number 9 is my favorite number. When I was 7 years old, I wanted a skateboard more than anything. Any of you ever wanted a skateboard? 7 years old, and skateboard's a little dangerous, so my parents made a promise to me that I couldn't get one when I was 7, but when I was 9 years old, I could get one. And I looked forward to that birthday like crazy. Like kind of like we're looking forward to summer right now in Minnesota, but I looked forward to that 9-year-old birthday. And something unexpected happened that was unfortunate. When I was 8 in second grade, it was a normal day at recess outside, and I was climbing the monkey bars, and a kid in my class named Lance, I can still see his face, I was climbing those monkey bars, and he pushed me off backwards. And so I flew off the ladder of the monkey bars backwards, landed with my right arm behind my back on top of it, and sure enough, broke my arm right below my shoulder. Went to the doctor, got x-rays, did the whole thing. Turned out there was a hollow spot in my bone that I didn't know about, so it was a good thing that it broke so it could heal. But what the doctor said was, clearly, no contact sports for a few years, and that means skateboarding. So I was crushed. And I did get one later. But my broken arm caused that promise of a skateboard when I was 9 years old, my favorite number, that promise was broken. Outside of my control, outside of my parents' control. Well, think about that for a minute. In the big picture of life, skateboards aren't that big of a deal, right? The promise of a skateboard is a small thing, but what about the significant promises in our lives that are broken? What about the maybe even out of our control? What about the promises that are broken that we break, that are within our control? Because of the brokenness of sin in the world around us, we live in a world that is bent, like a piece of crumpled aluminum foil, tin foil, that can't be flattened out again, can't be made new. A bent world, a broken world, a massively dysfunctional world around us because of sin. I mean, you have to look no further than the newspaper, right? Or the news website. Well, with how messed up a world that we live in, have you ever wondered, like I have, is hope really possible? Is true hope in this broken world that we live in our broken lives, is hope really possible? Is it possible to experience hope in a world that's ravaged with sin, brokenness, profound dysfunction in many ways? Well, one thing that we're reminded of at Easter is, praise God, Jesus gives that hope. Praise God, we can answer that question, is hope possible, with a yes, a resounding yes, because of the resurrection. Hope is possible. Resurrection hope. It's a reality for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. And we're going to spend the next few minutes together talking about that resurrection hope that is available in Jesus Christ. We're going to look at Romans chapter 5 through 8, not all of it, but sections of it, pieces of it, and look at the hope that is available through the resurrection. So if you have your Bibles, open up to the New Testament, the book of Romans. It's about halfway through the New Testament. And if you don't have a Bible, that's fine. We have a stack of them in the back corner. If you want to follow along and grab one, you can do that. Don't feel bad about getting up and grabbing one. But here's the question that we're going to wrestle with and answer from Romans 5 through 8. Here it is. How does belief in the risen Jesus bring hope in a broken world? How does belief in the risen Jesus bring hope in a broken world? And we're going to look at four ways the resurrection makes that real hope possible. Because Jesus is alive, we can experience, number one, the hope of real change. The hope of real change. Look at Romans 5. I'll read verses 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So there's a lot there in those few verses, but the Apostle Paul, he points out that when a person places their trust in Jesus Christ, they're justified. And what the Bible means by that is they're declared righteous by God the Father because of the righteousness of Jesus. It's this great exchange that takes place. When we believe in Jesus, he takes our sin, our unrighteousness, and gives us his righteousness. So God sees us through the lens of who Jesus is and what he has done on the cross, his resurrection, and pronounces us righteous. That's what it means to be justified. And the result of that in our lives as believers is peace with God, access to grace, and joy. Now, look at verses 3 through 4. Notice something. Belief in Jesus, it begins this cycle of transformation in the life of a follower of Christ. Cycle of transformation. Look what it says again. We rejoice in suffering. Why? Because suffering leads to endurance, produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And that goes on throughout our whole lives, this cycle of transformation. In other words, true change from the inside out. True change from the inside of us out. Only the gospel can do that. So suffering, brokenness in our lives, those are redeemed. They become redeemed as believers in, as tools in the hand of God to transform us. We can rejoice in suffering because God gives it meaning, purpose. Even though we don't see it, we trust that he's using this to refine us. He uses it to shape us, to mold us. Think for a moment. Is there anything you would like to change about yourself? Anything you would like to change about yourself? Now, I'm not talking about a hairstyle or a wardrobe change or anything like that, but deep down, character issues within yourself that you don't like, that you want to change, that you would rather not have, that you want to see transformed. Only faith in Jesus can lead to that deep and lasting change that comes from within. And the resurrection, Jesus being alive, it makes that hope of that real change possible. Deep from within, it's the only way true change can happen, through the gospel, through the resurrection of Jesus, it can become a reality. That's the first way that we can have our hope strengthened and experience true hope in the broken world we live in. The second way, because Jesus is alive, we can experience the hope of new life right now. New life right now. Jump over to chapter 6 of Romans. I'll read the first 11 verses, the longest section we're going to look at. Starting in verse 1, chapter 6. "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, with Jesus, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul goes on to say here a lot of things. And believers, he says, have been united with Jesus. United with Jesus. Two of the most important words in all of the Bible are in Christ. In Christ. In Jesus, everything changes. Being united with him. And Paul pictures in the beginning of that chapter, he pictures that union with Jesus by describing baptism. Water baptism. Water baptism pictures the spirit baptism in the life of someone that trusts in Jesus. Because when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you're united with him in his death, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. Just as going down into the water symbolizes being united with him in his death, his burial, and being raised with him to new life. That's why we baptize people, to symbolize what God has done in their life through faith. We're going to get to do that a little later on in the service today. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But notice something. Union with Christ, union with Jesus, it involves a movement from death to life. Death to life. Look at verse 5. We too might walk in newness of life. Verse 8. If we have died with Christ, we'll also live with him. Death to life. Verse 11. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Here's the point, and the point I want to emphasize here. Jesus doesn't bring just bring new life after we die somewhere out there, but real life, new life right now, in the day-to-day stuff that we go through, the day-to-day stuff that we face, eternal life. Through faith in Jesus, the gospel, it doesn't begin just after we leave this world, after we die, but right now in this life. There's one word that I hate to hear in our house, and it's the B word. You know what that is? I'm bored. I'm bored. It's amazing how, have you ever seen how a kid can be bored with tons of stuff to do, tons of options. I mean, our backyard, now that we can get out and use it, it's like a playground back there. I mean, there's a sandbox, a swing set, a trampoline, a tree fort, I mean, ropes to swing on, like all kinds of stuff, right? But what about us? It happens to adults too. Have you ever been bored with life? Have you ever been bored with life? I mean, like the deep soul boredom within. Lack of meaning, lack of purpose. What's the point of it all? Boredom. It happens, it's funny and strange, it happens even in the midst of great success. You can be a really successful person. You can accomplish career goals. You can climb the corporate ladder and be at the top and be more bored than you've ever been before with life. It can happen in the midst of busyness, crazy busyness in life. It can happen in the midst of accomplishment, finishing a long years of educational goals, and just, what's the purpose? What's the meaning of all of this? What's the point of this life? Well, you can be bored like you've never been before, but Jesus, Paul says, he rose from the dead to give us new life. Part of that is having a life that's worth living, a life full of meaning, purpose. The risen Jesus offers us, through faith in him, this abundant life. And that doesn't mean all the material possessions you've ever wanted, like a cosmic slot machine. That's not what abundant life means. It means real life in the here and now, life that's worth living, meaning, purpose. The life that we were created to experience by God, to know him, have true life. Through Jesus, we can have the hope of real life in the here and now, as well as eternally. Let's keep going. Third, because Jesus is alive, we can experience the hope of victories over sin. victories over sin. Jump over to chapter 8 of Romans, starting in verse 9. Paul writes, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Are you frustrated today or discouraged by your sin? I get that way. Maybe you recently looked at pornography again, and you just hate yourself for it. Maybe it's something else. Maybe you're struggling with something that nobody else knows about. Maybe it's some type of a secret addiction. Could be chemical, whatever. You feel hopeless. You feel defeated. Your sin in your life can be very discouraging. Is there any hope? Is there any hope that you can be free from it, that you can experience victory? Look at verse 13 again. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Here's what's going on. The resurrection, Jesus being alive, the grave being empty, it makes it possible for us to kill sin in our lives, to kill sin. We still experience, if you're a follower of Jesus, we still experience the presence of sin in our life until one day when we're face to face with Jesus, but the power of sin has been broken. We just sang about that. The power of sin has been broken by Jesus' victory on the cross and the resurrection. Jesus had to rise from the dead so he could send his Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of God is in you through faith in Jesus Christ, which is true of every believer, every follower of Jesus, that Spirit enables us to fight against sin, to experience victories over sin, to kill sin. That's what Paul means when he says, put to death the deeds of the body. Something you cannot do apart from the gospel, apart from faith in Jesus, the risen Jesus. Without the gospel, without the power of the risen Jesus at work in our lives, fighting sin, it's an empty effort, and it only leads to something you could call idol exchange. What happens if you try to fight sin apart from the resurrection power of Jesus at work in your life? You simply take this idol, this thing that you're worshiping other than God, and you set it aside, but you fill the hole with another idol. It's just an idol exchange. But the gospel allows us to crush the idols, to defeat, to kill sin. That's what Paul's talking about. It's amazing news. The Spirit of the risen Jesus enables us to do that, to truly worship God, to give him glory. Let's keep going. How else does belief in the risen Jesus bring hope in a broken world, in a dysfunctional world? Well, finally, because Jesus is alive, we can experience, number four, the hope of future glory. The hope of future glory. Look at Romans 8 again, a little later in the chapter, starting in verse 18 through 25. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption, and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. When Sarah and I used to live in Chicago, when I was finishing up school, we had some good friends there in a small group Bible study that we were in. And a good friend of ours from that time in Chicago, they still live in the area over back there, she has been battling breast cancer for the past year. And she's undergone chemo treatments and other things, and she lost her hair. She's barely 40. Barely over 40 years old, mother of four. But the reality, because of the resurrection, because she knows Jesus Christ, her faith in the risen Jesus changes everything. Here's how. She doesn't have what you could call just a shallow hope, a hope of the treatment working, a hope of getting better, a hope of extending the years on this in this world. That may or may not happen. It's uncertain, right? But what she does have is a better hope. A better hope. A hope that Jesus gives. A hope of future glory with Jesus. The resurrection makes that better hope possible, that whatever happens with treatment, whatever happens in this world, because she has placed her faith in Jesus Christ, she knows that one day she's going to be in a place of future glory where there will be no sin, where there will be no brokenness, no dysfunction, where she's going to have a new body, Romans 8 says, a resurrection body like Jesus, that hope of future glory, where sin will be banished, where creation will no longer groan, and where she will be renewed. That's the hope of the resurrection. Not a shallow hope like the hopes that we have in this world that aren't certain, but a better hope. Paul says in this passage in Romans 8 that the brokenness that we experience now in this life, it's like labor contractions. Some of you, we have a lot of babies here. Some of you can identify with that, right? It might be too soon to even talk about that. But brokenness now is like labor contractions that foreshadow the beautiful new life that is coming. They point to it. It's birth pains, Paul says, that point to that future glory. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 17. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. Now listen to this. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Because Jesus lives, we will live forever with him in future glory. That's the hope of the resurrection, because Jesus is alive. Now, as we wrap up here, how many of you enjoy, I know not everybody, playoff sports? Okay, some of you really like playoff sports. It's the best part of any sports season when they actually, the professionals get serious and try, right? Well, I love, for instance, the Super Bowl, right? But the Super Bowl, as you know, can be a letdown, a huge letdown. Like if your team doesn't make it, your favorite team isn't there. If the game is boring, like this past year, I don't even think we finished watching it. And more than that, if you're not even there for the sports and you just like the party and getting together with friends, it's only one night and then it's over. And it's like 364 days till the next party. It's a huge letdown. But think about this for a moment. Easter Sunday, today, it's kind of like the Super Bowl of the Christian faith. It's kind of like the Super Bowl of Christianity. But guess what? Easter is different because it's not a letdown. Easter Sunday, the Super Bowl, it's a Super Bowl that you can experience every day. Every moment, every minute, every hour, Jesus is alive. And in the brokenness of this world, we can experience that real hope, that real lasting true joy every single day. Let me ask a couple questions, and then I'm going to pray. First, do you need to experience that resurrection hope for the first time today? You don't have to leave this morning wanting true hope. But the good news of the gospel is that you can leave this morning, this place, possessing true hope. Not just knowing that it exists somewhere out there, and isn't that great? But you can own it. You can possess it. You can have it through faith in Jesus Christ. And it simply happens by placing your faith in Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, and believing that what he did, that his finished work, is what you need to be forgiven of your sins. He did what we could never do, living a perfect life, dying in our place on the cross, paying a debt before God the Father that we deserved to pay, the penalty that we deserved, and then rising from the dead, making new life possible. You can possess that by saying, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to respond to you in faith. I want that kind of hope in a world of brokenness. The second question, maybe you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, and maybe you've been one for a long time, and you'd call yourself a Christian. But do you need to resurrect the hope that is already yours through faith in Jesus? Do you need a resurrection of hope, a reminder, in other words, of hope that is yours because the tomb is empty? Remember what's true of you in Christ. You have the hope of real change deep within, the hope of new life right now, this life, the hope of victories over sin, and the hope of future glory. That's the good news of the resurrection, because Jesus is alive. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you defeated death. Thank you that this isn't just something we could celebrate today for a few minutes on a Sunday morning, but we can celebrate this every day and be filled with, as the Bible says, joy inexpressible. Joy that is so great in knowing you that we can't even really describe it. And not just being happy all the time and smiling, not that kind of a joy, but a deep-seated resting in who you are and knowing you. Lord, thank you for making new life in you possible. Thank you for going to the cross on our behalf, rising from the dead. We praise you, and you are truly Lord of all. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.